Thanks for that introduction. I am Christopher Mitchell, and today I'll be discussing balancing CPU and network in the cell-distributed B-tree store. This is a work that I created with Lamont Nelson, Kate Montgomery, Siddhartha Sen, and Jinyang Li. In a traditional client-server system, you have a server, at least one server, with some data and some threads of computation that can perform computations over that data. In this traditional system, locality is generally maintained between data and computation. So what that means is the server is probably going to be the one performing some kind of computations over that data, or even just fetching out a piece of that data to send to a client. Let's say the center client on the bottom there wants to either get a piece of data from the server or get the results of some computation on that server. That client will send a request to the server. The server, on its behalf, will either perform that computation or fetch the piece of data, and it'll return that as a response to the client. But there's a problem here. This is bound by the power of the server CPUs. If a load spike arrives, for instance, it can saturate the server CPUs, and no additional capacity will be available for any other requests. So you have a few options. One thing you can do is you can over-provision server CPUs. But this will be provisioning for, say, the peak load rather than a median load, and that'll leave CPUs idle during a median load, which is most of the time. Another option is that you can spin up extra servers when that load spike arrives. But this is a bit slow. Not only do you have to wait for the servers to spin up, you also have to wait for data to be replicated onto those servers. And if your load spike is on the order of dozens of seconds, it might be too slow to do this to actually handle that load spike. There is a solution. You can relax locality by processing the requests of the clients. But this is only now possible with things like remote direct memory access, new features offered by high-performance computing networks that are starting to show up in the data center. With this technique, the clients will fetch the required state themselves. Let me show you how that works. So we have our same setup as before with three clients, each of which can connect to a single server. Now, however, the client will send a read to that server instead of sending a request. That read will go to the server's NIC, and the NIC will bypass the CPU entirely, reading a piece of data out of that server's main memory and returning that data to the client. The client can then perform the necessary computations over that data itself, all without involving the server CPU. But we don't always want to use client-side processing. If the server CPU is plentiful, it'll probably be lower latency to perform an operation that requires several reads over the server's memory directly at the server with only one network round trip. So if the NIC is in fact the bottleneck with plentiful server CPUs, it makes sense to use these traditional techniques. But if the server CPU is bottlenecked, then we can continue to make forward progress by using client-side operations. Of course, if you're operating in a system where you have dedicated machines with 32 cores each and you always have capacity, you probably want to stick with traditional server-side operations. But if you're operating in a shared environment or you want to save some CPU cores, it makes sense to mix server-side and client-side operations. So examining how client-side and server-side operations could fit together led us to the insight that selectively relaxing locality improves load balancing. When you have plenty of server CPU available, your clients will probably mostly use server-side operations. But as the CPUs get more and more bottlenecked, it's a sliding scale that goes towards using a higher percentage of client-side operations to continue to make forward progress. In order to examine whether selectively relaxed locality works and what it offers, we built Cell, which is a distributed in-memory B-tree store, RDMA-enabled, of course, that can combine client and server-side operations. We use selectively relaxed locality to improve both load balancing and CPU efficiency, getting the same performance with fewer CPUs and being able to handle load spikes when the CPUs would otherwise be bottlenecked. We build a dynamic locality selector that lets the clients choose at any given instant in the lifetime of the system which type of operation to use. So having motivated you about what selectively relaxed locality is and why it's important to our system, let me talk to you about our case study, the Cell Distributed B-tree Store. I'll follow the design with an evaluation of its performance and cover a short bit of related work before I conclude. So to look at Cell, which balances server-side and client-side search, we want to examine three facets. First, we'll look at how it makes client-side and server-side search efficient. Secondly, how it ensures the correctness of operations. And third, how it chooses when to use client-side or server-side operations. Let's look at a traditional distributed sorted store that you might find in one of today's data centers. Think of Bigtable that uses 128 megabyte blocks built into a large B-tree. In this system, each of these large blocks is entirely opaque to the clients. Here I've shown you a two-level version of it, where a client wants to find the value of the key foo. It'll first send an RPC to the top server, the server that contains the root node in the system, asking it for the key foo. That server will search through that large node, find the link that points to another node, and tell the client to continue at server 2. Server 2, in turn, will search through that large chunk of data, find its way all the way down to the leaf level of the tree, and return the value bar for the key foo to the client. But this is optimized for Ethernet. This is optimized for a system where round trips are extremely expensive, where you want to use as few round trips as possible. So for example, Bigtable, with its 128 megabyte blocks, builds a tree that requires at most 3 round trips to traverse. This is not necessarily great for client-side operations, because if you wanted to perform any kind of client-side operations over that tree, the naive approach might be to try to fetch some data from those 128 megabyte nodes. Since they are largely opaque to the client might have to pull that whole 128 megabyte block over RDMA, which of course is infeasible. RDMA can help, though, and it can enable selectively relaxing data computation locality if we make those nodes transparent to the client. We build cells B-tree as a B-link tree of B-link trees. Inside each of those large blocks, we have 64 megabyte blocks that we call meganodes, is a smaller B-link tree of 1 kilobyte blocks, each of which the client can introspect. This makes it good for server-side processing when you're using the large blocks, and client-side processing. Client-side processing can fetch those small blocks. So here's what that tree looks like. I've shown, again, a two-level tree. It's a B-link tree. Contrast that with a regular B-tree in that there are level links that connect the nodes at each level and the mega nodes at each level. And inside each of these large mega nodes is a B-link tree itself. So this leads us to our first design choice. We enable client-side and server-side reads while keeping write operations strictly on the server. For searches, we can use that server-side traversal where we go from the top to the bottom of a meganode in a single RPC when server CPUs are plentiful. However, when server CPUs are the bottleneck, we can switch to client-side operations to continue making progress. We also support scans where you follow those level links along the leaf level to scan through a large range of keys. Since we want to avoid complicated distributed write operations among the clients, we stick with server-side operations for inserts. Server-side inserts might trigger node splits, which are handled by a single server, or meganode splits, which require at most 3 servers be involved to complete that operation. We also perform deletes on the servers. We do not rebalance, as suggested by the Sajiv B-Link tree algorithm, but we also don't have to have any distributed locks, which saves complexity in the system, and the previous work has shown provably good worst-case performance for that approach. So cell-sorted store in action contrasted with the big table example I showed you earlier. I told you that now we're going to make those big nodes transparent. This client has been working with these servers for a while, and it already knows that server 1 is under high load. Therefore, instead of relying on an RPC that might take a long time, it's going to use RDMA to access the nodes in that meganode. It'll first send an RDMA request to node R, which is the root node in that root meganode. The NIC will directly fetch that 1 kilobyte and send it back to the client. The client will read through that node, find that it needs to proceed to node 1 inside that root meganode to continue its search, and therefore will perform a second RDMA to get that node. It'll introspect that one, determine it needs to proceed to node 2 on server 2 in that leaf-level meganode. And now, because it believes that server 2 is under relatively low CPU load, it'll send an RPC traversal request to that server. The server will then traverse that entire meganode itself in one operation, finding its way to the leaf level and telling the client either that key foo exists or that the value of key foo is bar, depending on what the client asked for. So we can use client-side and server-side operations together for search, and we can save writes to be a server-side only technique. If we are performing server-side reads, we don't really have to worry about any kind of synchronization because the server can be responsible for making sure that writes and reads are ordered properly. However, client-side reads are more complicated because there's no widely accessible way to order RDMA reads with server reads. So we need to find a way to make those reads atomic in order for the B-link tree insertion reading algorithm to work properly. So that leads us to our second design choice, making reads atomic by putting version numbers around each node. We put a header and footer version on each of these fixed 1 kilobyte nodes. And every time the server performs a write, it increments those version numbers to the next odd number, performs its writes, then increments those versions again to the next even number. If a client either reads unequal version numbers or odd version numbers, it knows that a write was in progress. It can discard that data as essentially not an atomic read and retry the read. We assume that NIC reads are always going to proceed in strictly increasing or decreasing order, which we observed experimentally during our development. If, as proposed in previous work like FARM, the NIC can read the memory in random order in cache line size pieces, then we can simply add a small version number at the beginning of each of those cache line size memory chunks. We still need to choose when to use client-side or server-side operations, though. The naive option would be to just pick the lowest latency operation at any given point in time. But this is not optimal, because this might lead to one particular resource being used all the time, say the CPU, leaving the NIC idle, or relatively idle compared to the CPU. So what we actually want to do is keep both the server-side and client-side operations in play at any given time. I'll show you in a moment how we do that. And this leads us to optimize for throughput rather than latency. There are, of course, still a number of potential pitfalls in implementing something that can choose between those two. We need to properly weight operations. So I showed you that it takes several RDMA round trips to scan through a meganode, while a server can do it in a single RPC. You need to discard extremely short transient conditions that would otherwise be outliers. We do this by using a tuned weighted average of latencies over the past several operations. And you want to discard stale measurements if you believe that one of the resources is being least used, say that the server CPU appears to be idle, so you're using a lot of server-side operations. The RDMA capability might have become free in that time. You need to occasionally perform exploration to check the performance of the method you believe is suboptimal. So we build a client-side locality selector where the clients record the latency of each of the operations they performed in the recent past. And they use this to estimate something like queues on the server. Now, these are not literal queues. There are not actual, you know, physical queues somewhere that we're recording the length of. But we can, using the latency of the operations minus the wire time that the operations spend going to and from the server, figure out roughly how utilized the CPU and NIC is on each server and pick the correct operation accordingly. So I've shown you how Cell is put together. Now let me tell you a bit about how it performs. We built Cell in about 16,000 lines of C++ code. For our RDMA-capable network, we use InfiniBand, specifically its TCP-like connection mode, although we could build this with any RDMA-capable interconnect that also offered message passing. And based on experiences from previous work, we have our Cell clients share connections between several processes in order to delay the point at which InfiniBand performance collapses with many connections, a limitation of current hardware. In order to evaluate Cell, we ask three main evaluation questions. Number one, can selectively relaxed locality save CPUs? Number two, do these techniques scale to many servers? And number three, can selectively relaxed locality handle load spikes? Obviously, the answer to all this is yes, otherwise I wouldn't be showing you these questions, but let me show you quantitatively how correct they are. So we tested whether selectively relaxed locality is fast and found that the answer was yes, with a set of 16 servers, each utilizing two CPU cores for Cell. We found that we were able to achieve 5.31 million operations per second traversing through an entire Cell tree. We were able to get at least 170% performance compared to using server-side only operations. And we were able to save an average of at least, two cores per NIC per server. So what this means is that we could get the same performance as server-side only could get with two more CPU cores, cores that now could be saved for other applications, for application logic related to this system or to any other work. We checked if selectively relaxed locality can scale to many CPU cores using between 1 and 8 cores on a set of 4 servers. In each case, Cell gets more than either server-side or client-side search alone for low core counts close to the aggregate of those two. We found that we got, as I said, about a 2 core per NIC advantage. You can see that, for example, the throughput that Cell got for 2 cores is roughly the same that server-side only search got for 4 cores. We went to the extreme case, testing a single CPU core with caching off and performing searches only on a single meganode. we found that as we varied the number of clients from 2 up to 12, that we were able to get about 150,000 operations per second with client-side only, with server-side only search, excuse me, about 300,000 operations per second with client-side search, and close to 450,000 operations per second combining those two approaches. The latency for traversing through that mega node was less than 40 microseconds in that case. We found that cell selectively relaxed locality approach scales well to many servers. So going from one server utilizing two cores and not on that server up to 16 servers with two cores per server, we got anywhere from a 70% to 120% speed up over using server-side search alone. We also tried a mix of real-world kind of operations and workloads. So 100% inserts, ranges of 100% to 0% update and get operations. And we also picked two sets of loads from the YCSB-A and YCSB-B workloads. And in every case, Cell was able to do better than server-side search alone, in some cases where the operations were heavily biased towards gets, more than 100% better than server-side search. Finally, because it was one of the things that motivated us to create Cell in the first place, we tested whether selectively relaxed locality handles load spikes well. Here, we had a set of clients continually performing operations on a cluster of Cell servers, and for 5 seconds, we increased the load to 250% of the request per second that was previously being put on those servers. With server-side only, because the servers could not process requests as fast as they were being issued, the requests started to build up, and we found that the latency of requests grew unboundedly up until the load was released and the delayed operations were finally completed. With Cell, however, the client started to switch to using the less utilized client-side search within about 200 milliseconds, falling back down to less than 10 to the second microseconds per operation for the remainder of that 5-second spike. So I evaluated Cell. Let me talk briefly about related work before I conclude. RDMA has been explored extensively for faster message passing in the last decade or so. Things like MPI, Memcached, HBase, Hadoop, PVFS, and NFS have all been made faster using their same design, utilizing RDMA to speed up message passing, but not using it to create a new kind of client-side operation. Recently, Herd and Farm have both explored RDMA more completely as a way to relieve pressure on server CPUs. And there have also been a number of in-memory key-value and sorted stores explored recently. Farm, which uses something similar to distributed shared memory utilizing RDMA, includes a key value store app. And there have been a number of in-memory sorted stores that do not use RDMA, notably HStore, VaultDB, MassTree, and Silo. A number of distributed B-tree projects have explored the same kind of B-link tree that we used in our project, like Johnson & Colebrook and Boxwood, each of which use Sujeev's B-link tree. Notably, this is the first work to implement a sorted store utilizing client-side operations. We believe that tomorrow's data centers will include RDMA-capable, ultra-low-latency networks. And we think that in order to take full use of these new networks, we're going to have to redesign systems. We think that the best way to do this is to allow both client-side and server-side operations. So use selectively relaxed locality to load balance and be more efficient with CPUs. We think that the self-verifying data structures, like the ones I showed you to make client-side operations that can't be synchronized with server-side operations atomic, are the way to do this. And we believe that selectively relaxed locality techniques work at scale, as we've shown in this work. Thank you very much, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Okay. I'm curious whether the self-synchronizing or verifying data structures you mentioned could be used to try to use sort of hints that will allow you to shortcut the heavily loaded node. So if you have a root node there, where you basically have to go there to traverse the B-tree, and that thing is always loaded, and so you switch back to the client and RDMA and everything, could you instead use hints that tell you, I think that my answer is going to be over here, and use those version numbers to verify that nothing's changed that would have caused you to go down a different path had you actually followed the full tree?
Yes, we do implement something like what you're talking about. So we have clients cache nodes near the top of the tree. We have them cache both the individual nodes that they fetch via RDMA and information about the mega nodes that they traverse. If they skip through that cache and get to a point in the tree where they have to actually perform an RDMA and they find that something has changed, either the version number is not what they expect or the contents have changed, then they use that as information to know that their cache was stale and they need to back up.
Okay.
Boris Fagan, Pure Storage. I wonder, so very interesting bit of work. I wonder what motivated the choice of InfiniBand, and have you tried running over Ethernet, and is there any difference?
We have not tried RDMA-capable Ethernet. We used InfiniBand because that was what was available in the clusters with the largest number of machines that we could test.
Do you have any feeling for, or do you want to speculate on what might be interesting?
I know that we've run into significant limitations of InfiniBand's current hardware in terms of its scalability in many cases. I don't have experience with that fine-grain performance with RDMA-capable and Ethernet, so I couldn't speak intelligently to that.
Thank you.
Can you speculate on how your techniques would be applicable to things beyond B-trees?
Absolutely. So we believe that these self-verifying data structures where you can add version numbers to fixed size, fixed location components of a large data structure, and what I didn't mention is that we use CRCs over things that can move in a variable length, you can combine these to build an arbitrary data structure that can be accessed by both RDMA and server-side operations. And in doing so, because you're using the same traversal code on clients and servers, you don't, in fact, have to use a whole lot of new code to implement these. So I believe it's a technique that'll be applicable to a lot of different types of data structures.